The following is a sermon from Pastor Timothy Borman and Sure Foundation, a church located in Woodside, Queens, New York, the world's most diverse community. For more information and for more audio content, go to sure-foundation.org.
If you listen well, you will be able to hear them, the saints in glory. And what they say, this cloud of witnesses, is they say, do not give up. They say, keep running. They say, it's totally worth it. Because
there is a banquet there. There is a banquet there. And so on this All Saints Day, when I thought about
what word from Proverbs will I bring to you, it had to be Proverbs chapter 9. It just had to be Proverbs chapter 9, because this morning, you too are invited there to the feast that has been prepared for you by Christ our Lord. I want to read it to you now. This is a good ending. This is a climactic ending. Proverbs chapter 9, this is a whole chapter. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat, at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. This is God's word. This is an invitation. Invitations are simple things, I think. An invitation, if you would boil it all the way down to its literary form, to what it is, it has four simple parts every single time, whether it's an invitation to a birthday party or to a wedding or something else. It always has four parts. There's the address. We could call it the target audience. It's who it's directed to, who is getting invited. Then there's the appeal. Here's the offer. This is why you should come. And that's probably the longest part of the content. There's a description of the hosts. Who is it that is throwing this party and who will be honored? And then finally, there's always a call to action. Here's what you do with this invitation. Usually these days it'll say something like RSVP. Will you let us know if you're coming? If you boil it all the way down, these are the four parts of any invitation. And if you want a simple way to look at Proverbs chapter 9, this would be it. That you would
you would hear this invitation, that you would discern it, and that you would recognize that there's actually always in life two invitations. And the one invitation comes from Lady Wisdom, the other from Lady Folly. Which one are you going to accept? I want to show that to you this morning. I want to look at the parts of these invitations so that you joyfully, reasonably will say, this is the party that I want to go to. The one that Lady Wisdom is hosting. Now, chapter 9 of Proverbs is an absolute literary masterpiece. Here's how it's set up. The first 6 verses are a direct invitation from Lady Wisdom. Count them. There's 6 of them. Then you can go all the way to the end of the chapter, and it's almost bookend. Like, this is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with the 2 pieces of bread, and there's how many verses? There's 6. 6 verses that end, that contain another invitation from Lady Folly. And then right in the middle, centered, right in the middle, is Wisdom. And really, character sketches. And so what Solomon is doing is, first of all, by the way he's structuring these things, is he's helping to center what he believes is his true audience, his true target audience. On the surface, you could say that it appears that both invitations and both women who are making the invitation are inviting the same crowd. And in fact, what they say in the invitation in the target audience is exactly the same. Look at verse 4. Lady Wisdom starts off and she says, let all who are simple come to my house. So there's our target audience. Like, this is the group of people being addressed, the simple people. But fast forward then to verse 16. Lady Folly says, let all who are simple come to my house. The same target audience. Like, the same group of people. But what Solomon centers in the chapter, and this is very important, is the fact that there are 2 kinds of simple people. And there are 2 kinds of simpletons. See, everybody in Solomon's categories here this morning, everybody is simple. Everybody is a simpleton, but there are 2 kinds of simple people and 2 kinds of simpletons. There are simple people who know that they're simple. And there are simple people who think that they're wise. There are simple people who love it when you correct them and show them the way. There are also simple people who will hate you for it. So the question this morning is, which kind of simple person are you? Could I sketch this out for you this morning? I want to call the first kind of simpleton, I don't know, Mr. Know-it-all. Mr. Close-minded, if you will. And this is how Mr. Close-minded is. This is what Solomon says. Mr. Close-minded, when you go to him, he'll say, I know everything and I don't need God. And if you come to me on the basis of God's word, I will reject it because I know better. And Mr. Close-minded will grow resentful of you if you ever come to him word from God from you. He really does love you, and he really does offer to you wisdom, and they will say, no, he does not, because I know better. This is a person whose heart is hard and whose mind is absolutely closed to any sort of correction. Is that you? Or are you a different kind of simpleton or a different kind of simple person? Let's call them this person in this character sketch, Mr. Teachable. And here's what's true about Mr. Teachable. Mr. Teachable, well, he knows what he doesn't know. In fact, he assumes that there's a lot of areas of life where maybe he really doesn't know the way, and that there might be somebody out there that could show him a word from God that would be helpful and good and that would help him grow. This is Mr. Teachable. Mr. Teachable is the kind of man who would say to you, listen, if I'm ever going off the path, if I'm ever going after folly, I want you to let me know. I need for you to let me know. I will love you for doing it. Is that you? Are you more like the second kind of simpleton? Now this word, if you will listen to this word, I think it moves, for Christians, for believing people, for wise people, it moves in two opposite directions. The first would be this. We are, in a sense, in this parable, this beautiful parable from Solomon. Let there be light. We are, in this beautiful parable from Solomon, like the messengers who go out with the invitation. And some people you're going to share that invitation with, come and eat. And you'll be able to feel it because the walls are going to go up. Like, you'll sense it for them. They do not want to hear it. And they'll let you know. Now, what does Solomon say to do with people like that? He says, just shut it down. Don't even bother. Jesus says the same thing. He says, shake the dust off your feet. Why are you going to share your pearls with swine? Don't do that. There's a part we need to be discerning messengers of the truth of the invitation and be able to recognize when we're dealing with one of those kinds of people. But there's a second truth, and I think this is maybe the more important truth for all of us, and it's this. We always need to stay teachable. We always need to stay open to growth. We always need to be able to say, you know what, I don't know everything, and I'm willing to be instructed always by the Word, because I know my Jesus loves me, He's forgiven me, but I also know that I don't know everything. The target audience for Lady Wisdom's invitation is to you and to that person who is open to grow, to see the beautiful banquet that God has set out. That is as far as I want to take it with the target audience. But now I want to show you the appeal. The appeal. If you look at both of the invitations, Lady Wisdom starts. And this is what she offers. She says, I have a beautiful house. And in fact, the architecture of it has seven pillars. She says, I've set the table. She says, I've slaughtered the best animals. I've mixed the wine. In other words, this is like the Met Gala. This is going to be an amazing banquet. That's the offer. That is the appeal, that we would look at that and say, wow, I want to participate in that banquet. But then there's another offer. And this is the offer from Lady Folly. Lady Folly says, you know what I've got for you? I've got water. And this isn't my own water. I stole it. But I promise you it'll taste sweet. And then Lady Folly says, I don't have beautiful meat or mixed wine. What I've got for you is crusty bread. And that's the appeal. That's the offer. That is literally the offer that Lady Folly has to give. Now, which one, which banquet, which invitation would you want to accept? It seems obvious, right? Let's go and participate in this banquet over here that's like the Met Gala. But people don't. They don't. I got an email from from a pastor who's also a friend. He works in another big city. He said to me, "You've been doing this a long time. I want to know if this has been your experience." And he said, "People will join the church and they'll know the truth, and then they'll fall away for the littlest and the stupidest things." He said, "I'm discouraged." Why do people do that? And if I could be more direct, I love you, but why do we do that? Why? I think part of it is simply this, that we need new eyes. And we need to be able to discern what it is that we're missing out on and what we're actually receiving. Because here's the truth. Lady Folly is the best kind of liar and the best kind of marketer. That's the truth. Like, Lady Folly will go to the simple people and she will be able to convince you that stolen water tastes good. Ooh. And she'll be able to convince you that a crusty, dry old piece of bread is better than anything that Lady Wisdom can offer. And people buy it. She's an amazing marketer. And so the trouble isn't willpower. I really don't think it has much to do with willpower at all. It's the very fact that we need to see things differently. We need to look at the teaching about sex and see a banquet. We need to look at the gospel and say, that is the only thing that is awesome in the whole world. We need to look at the teaching, and we talked about all these things, about laziness, and say, yeah, rest is good, but it's not everything. Sometimes I sit with people, and maybe I've said this to you. When you're struggling with sin, when you're struggling with folly, and it's a real struggle, and I'll say, here's my prayer. My prayer is that what you think is sweet right now will turn to ashes in your mouth. That you'll taste the water and be like, this is bitter. That you'll eat the bread and you'll say, this is moldy. And you'll throw it away in disgust and say, I know that there's something better. That there's something beautiful. Like if you think about the table spread like this from Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom. Over here is steak and Brussels sprouts. Like, but the very best kind of Brussels sprouts. And over here, what is here is stolen Twinkies and Little Debbies, you know, and the gross like hot dogs that you can get on 7-Eleven. And you're like, wow, you know, people are like, that sounds pretty good. Don't eat it. Take the steak and the Brussels sprouts. Look at the mixed wine that's over here. This is healthy. This is good. This is appealing. We need to reorder our desires and look at what God says is sin is disgusting. This is what I'm trying to say. And look at what the gospel offers and what the word offers and say, what a beautiful banquet. That's what I want. This is the appeal. Now, I think what locks us in is not really looking at who's addressed or even what's on offer, but instead, what really locks it in is the host. Look for a second at Lady Folly. She's a disaster. Like, in my mind, if she's presumptuous, like she sets up her own throne, I think in my mind's eye, she's at least a little bit disheveled, and she's got this ugly little shack, and she's like, come on inside, and then what you find out when you go inside is like, there's just dead people here. There's like, it's literally just dead people. But then over here, look at this host. Lady Wisdom owns the world. Seven, people wonder about the seven pillars. It's a number of completeness. Seven pillars. The whole thing. The 7 days of creation. Go with what you want. But she owns everything. And she offers this amazing feast. To who? This is the only part of the picture that makes no sense at all. She offers it to the people who deserve it the least. And there's no mention of the cost. Like Lady Folly, she says, this cost me nothing because I stole it. But Lady Wisdom just gives it to the least deserving, and there's no mention of the cost. Doesn't that make you think of Jesus? He owns everything. And what he offers us in his grace, in his word, in his gospel is beautiful. It is a banquet and it is free. There is no mention of the cost, not to you. But I will tell you this. It cost him everything. And I'll tell you what, when you see what it cost him, and you meditate on his wounds, on his hands and his feet, on his side, you'll see how ugly and disgusting sin is. But you will also see how much he loves you. And I want you to hear him waving you in. Come. Come and eat. The dead are not there. You know who's there? Those who went before you. For me, it's my grandma and grandpa. Grandma and Grandpa Monti, Grandma and Grandpa Borman, they're there. Will you join them and will you join the Lord who has prepared this feast for you? So far we've looked at all the different parts of an invitation except for one. The last one is this. It's the call to action. It's the RSVP. I want to be there at that banquet, don't you? I want to be there. The amazing news this morning is that we can put in our RSVP. Jesus, I'm on my way. Thank you. Jesus, I'm on my way. And along the way then are these little banquets that give us the strength to keep going. Right? This morning there's one that's going to happen where he will give to you his true body and blood. Come and eat. And prepare for the one big finale that's still coming.